Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah. Amen. My testimony is about God separating the people who serve Him. He makes a difference with those who serve Him from those who don't serve Him. I have been working at the Ministry of Health for quite a long time now. And when I started, I was working in the office of a certain minister. And for a very long time while I've been working there, staff would come and they would leave. Some would be sent home and nobody stays for a long time. But by the grace of God, I have been there for at least 2 years. And a lot of persons would ask me, girl, how are you able to stay and work with that man and all sorts of things? But I know it's only the grace of God. And one of the things that, not being in any way biased, but I was one of the only black girls who was able to stay such a long time, because I see persons would come, they would get sent home and all sorts of things. Even me and one of my colleagues, we would fast and pray at least one day a week to be able to tolerate and deal with the environment, right? And then eventually when he became the senior minister, I went over and you would be there, and then one Monday morning you would see a new staff and they would come and they would be in a higher position than you. When you realize they're even less qualified than you, but they're earning more, and then you have to teach them the job that you're doing all the time, right? And then so one time, there was a time, many times that I got frustrated and I wanted to leave, but somehow I know God had a plan. Right? And I would always be there. And it came to this point when I was tired and I really wanted to leave. I was very frustrated. And then one of my Christian colleagues, she prayed with me. And then about 2 days after God opened the door for me, they came and the minister wanted a secretary. So he sent to another department and he said to bring her over. So the opportunity was there for me to go over. So I said, I would like to go. No, they didn't ask. They said, who would like to go? And everybody agreed that I would go. I said, thank you, Lord, because I really wanted to leave. Only to realize now that now it's election, because I've been there. I left the department for a long time. And the vacancy, that the position that I was working in, wasn't a vacant position at that time, because the girl that went over to that department, she was still in that position, and then she stayed for a few months and she got a better opportunity and she left. So it became vacant, and by the grace of God, I got the position, right? So now it came to the election period, and just about in January, the minister was asking me, he was making a proposal for me to come back in the office. And it could only be the Holy Spirit. Without hesitation or second thought, I said, no, 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 no. And then the only the other day now, I went into work a little late, and when I was going in, the PS had a meeting with all the staff, the staff from the minister's office. Only about an hour after, it started rumoring around the compound that they were all sent home. So I said, praise God. I said, look at this. But they weren't sent home. They were sent on everybody, whichever who had 2 weeks, 54 days leave. They were all sent on their leave. But me, right away, I said, thank God that I was delivered from that. Because if I was still in that office, I would have been in the same position. So I thank God that God sees the future, that I was out of that position a year before. Right? And today I still have a permanent job, because many of those persons, they were just sent to different departments. Whatever was given to them, they had to take. So I thank God.
Father, this morning we ask that you speak to us, you affect our lives, and that you will not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And somebody said, wow, why don't you put your hands together for the Lord? And you may please be seated. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church this morning? Wow. Matthew chapter 13. If you're glad, you have your Bible. Matthew chapter 13. And we want to read from verse 31. Today is Founders Day and Bring Your Friend Sunday. So today is Founders Day and it's also Bring Your Friend Sunday. So I hope you are sitting next to your friend. If you are not sitting next to your friend, then you are not a Christian. You see, one of the things that it is required of every member of a church is that you obey your pastor. Right? Just like a child, you obey your parents. Leah, amen. You obey your parents. A child cannot disobey their parent. If you do that, even though technically you're a child, you're not a good child. Somebody listening to me this morning. In a similar way, in the church, you are expected to go according to everything that the Lord and the scripture says and your pastor talks about. Otherwise, even though you are in the church, you are not a good church member. Because there are good church members and there are bad church members. There are church members who flow with everything of the church. They move along, they go along, they participate, they express themselves, they use their talents and their giftings to benefit and profit the church. And there are some who just sit aloof. They're just there. And they just come and they go. They come and they go, they come and they go. It won't take long, you will not come again. Because you have qualified yourself to be somebody who is not a proper type of Christian. Hallelujah. Now, Founders Day, we had an opportunity to see one of the video clips around, from the early days of the church up to when, the video was recorded or the documentary was put together. You can see that Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31 is real for any church. The Bible says this, another parable put he forth unto them saying, the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of Guyana, the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of Great Britain, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, if you look at this scripture, it is actually comparable to Guyana, the kingdom of Guyana. Anything that God is into, it may start small, but it grows. I said, anything that God is involved in, it starts small, but it grows. I can give you an example of a seed. You have a seed of what? Of guinea. You plant it. You'll be very surprised. After a few months to a year or so, you see what will become of that small seed that you took and you sowed in your field. You bring forth a child. 40 years later, big man. Has a wife. Has a car. But when he was coming out, some little kuchu 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 something that came out. Anything that God is inside, it starts small and it gets bigger. In fact, the Bible says that better the end of something than the beginning thereof. Because when something starts, human beings don't appreciate the beginning of things, because any great thing in the kingdom of heaven, when it's starting, it doesn't look so glorious. So if you translate from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of heaven, you will have to begin to respect small things. You have to begin to respect little and smaller steps. Now, if you compare it to the kingdom of Guyana, which was also created by God, you realize that we have a lot of resources. We have a lot of things. Everybody says that. Everybody says that, except that it's elusive. Everybody can have about 10 acres of this country and we still have a reserve. How come we don't have that? Because unlike the kingdom of heaven that is supposed to start small and get bigger, this has not been the kingdom of heaven. That's how come it has not become like that. You know, South Korea, it was a country that, you know, fought against. They had the Japanese fought against them. And the country was, you know, completely devastated. And they started rebuilding the country. But what they did there was that they recognized the significance of preachers and men of God in the country. So one of the pastors that the president in those days, who was in charge of the recovery program, everything, had as his advisor was Dr. Cho, the Chinese man who was on the video. Not Chinese, but Korean, right? But if I say Chinese man, you understand that. If I say Korean. Yeah, the Korean or the Chinese face that was in a clip. And he, at a point, was like a consultant to the president. The ideas that he gave the president was exactly the things he went and implemented. Now, Korea is one of the greatest developed countries everywhere. We have all the things in this country. Yet, if God does not come in properly, I said, if God does not come in properly, you can be black or white and become president. Nothing will happen here. Let me say it again. I said, if God does not come into the thing properly, because anything that God is into, it starts small and becomes big. If you want this country to become big, it is not Granger. It is not coalition. It is not PPP. It is God. And as preachers and as Christians, we must stick to that belief. I'm telling you. Don't let us, you see, we are Christians, oh. And Christians must identify what we really are and what we really believe in and what we know works. It is God who works, not a black president. I have nothing against whatever is going on, but I am not of this world. I am not so touched by what is going on. Because my what touches me is different. I'm from a different country. I'm from a different kingdom. I'm a spiritual man. I'm a church man. It's church things that excite me. I went to vote. You see, it's still there. I went to vote. But that's my just Caesar. I'm giving on to Caesar what is Caesar's. But I want to give to God the best that belongs to God. I want to encourage you to do that. Hallelujah. Yeah, I want to be excited when we have bigger crusades and souls are being saved. That will excite me. I will be excited by that. I don't care who is president. As long as we have crusades and we have the power of God being manifested and people coming to church and young people come to church, old people come to church, the church is getting bigger and larger. That is what will actually affect me. That's what will make me move. If I'll cry, I will not cry because I see Michael Jackson. I cry because I'll see God's power being made manifest. He said, and it is quite encouraging that for so many years, you hear one of the highest offices being occupied by somebody who starts his speech by saying, "This is the day that the Lord." It's just exciting. It's just exciting. Yeah. Because that is exactly where we must go back to. Otherwise, nothing can become the way we expect it to be. You take your seed and put it in the earth and nothing will happen to it. Yeah, because when God is in it, it is small, it gets bigger. Even in your life, you will never amount to anything without God. I'm telling you, if you don't know. You can have all the connections and the contacts and all of that. It's just a matter of time. You will come tumbling down. It is whatever God does that is permanent. And as Christians, we must believe that with all our heart, with all our intestines, kidneys and liver, and everything that is part of us, that it takes God.
If we don't exercise that belief and faith, we'll become like just those who don't believe in God. Because if you are sitting down here, you are in church, and you believe that there's something else that can make you succeed, you believe that traveling to America is all to make you prosper, and not God, there's something wrong with your belief and your thinking. I hope there are Christians in the church this morning. So we are looking God like what Bishop Dag has done. By the grace of God, he started a church in 1988, 87, 88 as a student. And the church has now become over 2,000 branches in about 60 to 69 countries. Now you think about it. If you start a business, let's call it a business, and you have 2,000 outlets in 69 countries, let's call it just business. Let's not talk church. Let's talk business. How can you have a branch of your business from Accra, Ghana? He started in a classroom. I'm sure when he started, people were saying, "What wrong with Dubai?" They used to say it. From a classroom to the veranda, the corridor. From the corridor, he moved to the canteen. And from the canteen, it was growing. So they moved and they went to buy this cinema hall that had a lot of garbage around it. Like we came here, we bought this dance place here. This is not our destination. We are good. We're moving forward. I said we are moving forward. And now you count over 3,000 pastors. Just from a small classroom. It tells you if anything that God is inside, it gets bigger. So if you are a Christian, I am talking to you. See, we can get caught up with what is happening in the country. I was telling the first service that there's a pastor that I've never seen him with a picture with any president before, but Granger. And I said, hey, this thing we have to be careful of. Because before you realize, you are trying to tell your congregation that you are on this side. But there's no side we can be on as pastors, but the side of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus' side that we are on. Everybody else, they can rest themselves. Now, this seed that goes into the field and grows up to become a big tree, it does not just happen. God uses people to make it happen. Now, we've been talking about the advantages of a mega church, and I'm just pausing on that today just to talk about your involvement in the mega church. Because this church that is here, even though we started with just myself and my wife and our two children, and this is just one congregation, we had the first one from 7:30 to 9:30. We have one in Parika, we have one in Den Amstel, we are in Wismar, Friendship, Grove, New Amsterdam, Suriname, BV. Just my wife and two children. If this is not a kingdom of God, what else is it? You get it? But somebody has to rise up and say, you know what, please, I'll go to Parika if you want me to go. Because I cannot there was an illiterate who was a minister of government in Ghana many years ago. And the president was supposed to go and was inaugurated. Or some water supply that he had, you know, they organized. So in a village, borehole, he organized this minister who was an illiterate to go and go in his place because he was busy. So the minister went. Then he started his speech. He said, the president cannot divisible himself into two. So he sent me to come here. He said, water. He said, pipe, open. Water, come. People drink. Inauguration of the borehole. I cannot divisible myself into two. I cannot divisible myself. So somebody must also become a disciple of Jesus Christ and say, you know what, Pastor, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And I say, you know what, God wants us to go further, East Bank. I say, okay, Pastor, I'll go. Where? And then we send you, there you go. Somebody has to be here and make it their duty, according to the scriptures, to make sure that people come to church all the time. The mega church cannot happen without you. You see, God has just made it like that. Even though the church works without us, really. But God, in his mercy and his kindness, wants us to be partakers of the blessings. And therefore, he tells us, or he uses us, to talk to somebody to come to church, preach to somebody to give their life to Christ. God uses people to do that. That's how it works. Jesus doesn't, he has finished his work on earth. He came and he died. It's finished. It is now up to you and I to talk to people about the cross. To talk to people about the blood that was shed. So you and I can't sit down on our buttocks in the church and just come to church. But you see, when I look around and I look at some of your faces, some of you say, you should even stay home. No. You don't seem to be excited when you come to church. I don't see the excitement that you have when you come to church. The Bible says, I was glad. You see, you don't have an idea what God has taken you away from. So when you are coming to church, it's like somebody is forcing. We had to push you to come just to have a taste of the joy we have. I don't need money to be happy. I don't need a car to be happy. I don't need a house to be happy. I only need Jesus to be happy. That's all I need in this world. Because Christ me, the hope of all glory. But, you know, many of us don't understand that. You think that money in your pocket will make you happy. You see, when somebody is in prison, it's not money they want, you know. Yeah. And Satan has people captive. The most important thing for such people is freedom, not money. Freedom. Because there's no price to freedom. There's no price to somebody being able to go wherever he wants to go and come wherever he wants to come. There's even in a country, to be able to walk in the streets of Georgetown or Alboystown or wherever we find dangerous, midnight, 2 a.m. without anybody harassing you. It's a different feeling. It's a different feeling. There shouldn't be anything in our country that you can't go here in the night. That's the price. There's no money to it. And that is what Christ has done for us. Spiritually, he has loosed us from the chains of death and sin and death. But you see, we can't even understand what it is. It's priceless, but you see, we don't have an idea. So when some of you come to church, you are sleeping even as I'm preaching. Hey, you are sleeping. You are checking your phone. You are in a hurry. Let a man finish talk and let me go home. You don't understand the excitement of coming into the house of the Lord. You don't understand that. The mega church that God has brought us here to see happen, it will happen if you will be obedient and will be flexible for the Lord to use you. I tell you, we don't hide our purpose. Our purpose is very simple. We came here to look for souls, to train the people that we win, and to send them out as pastors. So if you are here and you're going to be here for a while, you must think of yourself going somewhere to start a church. That's why we came here. We are not here for any other thing. The kingdom of God must be established here. There's one thing about a large church, and that is what we don't see. You see, when the church is large, I let me just say this in passing. You see, there is a lot of freedom, liberty in this world that has caused even the church to also be too free. Right? As we're inviting people around, there are some people in the area who think that if we clean the gutter and weed around, that is our job. Yeah, they were telling us that we should. Somebody was saying that we should clean the. Who was it? Whether we came to clean their gutters? I thought your gutter should be filled with filth. I don't care. I care about your soul and your life. And where you go if you were to die right now? That's what I'm worried about. If I clean the gutter right now, tomorrow it will be back. It's not the church's responsibility to clean gutters. I pass people. What is the city council there for? You see, we live in a country where there's a lot of mismanagement, so you think that somebody else should do something that they are not supposed to do. For example, in a large church that is together, the nation will have no option but to respect us. But you see, the problem with the church is that we are not together. Even the denominations. Because in some of the greatest denominations, assemblies, Full Gospel, Wesleyan, Nazarene, all of that, they are not together. When I say they are not together, it's not like there's one head. Because they speak of self. I have some assemblies, pastors. Self-financing, self-something, propagation, self. There are some that, you know, it has its positive side. But the negative side is that it doesn't bring us together as a unit. Because when you have a large church, the president and the people, they will salute. When we are small, the people don't respect us. Even when you are a young person, when you speak, don't you know that when we big people, when you young people, you speak, we don't mind you. Because you are small. And when you get big, then you talk, then we'll listen to you. But now we think that you don't got no sense. Meanwhile, you think that your idea is a very brilliant idea. But to us big people, you making joke. Amelia, how old are you?
You are 11.
11? What can you tell me? You're some little girl. But Pastor Sai is how old?
87 or something. I want to talk to 87-year-old man. Jonathan, are you with me? Are you understand what I'm saying?
So, a mega church, when you have a large church, like let's say if all the assemblies were together under Reverend John Smith or Bishop Mazaya, it would be a different thing. Because then, you see, even us, Bishop is coming for a camp. We are bringing all ourselves together. We are counting about 400 to 450 people for the camp. Now, for 450 people to go somewhere in Guyana, it's not a simple thing. Virtually, there's no hotel that can house us. I've gone to Marriott. Marriott says they can't handle us. No, it's 192 rooms. Right? Now, if you are 400 people, so if you do even two in a room, but you can also take all the rooms because there are some that are higher. You know, you have to reserve. Somebody must. So, there is no place for 400 people here. Now, if the assemblies and the Wesleyan who already have about 100 branches, 100 outstations were to come together, no, the police will say, please, don't do them programs no more. We never handle you. And they will respect the people who are heads of these organizations. That's one advantage of a mega church. Because the world does not respect us because we are small. They respect the original Orthodox churches. So even in terms of advantages, when a mega church is there like that, you have everything. In fact, we can tell, even us now, there's a guy who makes our pulpit for us. I mean, every day we're going to make another pulpit. It's a business. We have signboards. I mean, if it's not the government that didn't allow us to place some signboards around, like our church alone will have about 4 or 5 signboards. Because the signboard, it's to direct people to where the church is. So I put one at the end here. I put one at that end there. At least 3. One signboard is about $55,000. So the person is not just for us. Then BV, then New Amsterdam, then Wisma. The signboard man got good business with the church. And next time when he sees you, he says, Pastor, it's a long time you call for a signboard. Everything all right? Well, he will come to church because of the signboard. It's true. When we are doing t-shirts, 400 t-shirts. 400 t-shirts. 400 t-shirts. There are so many things that when the church becomes large, the companies, they will respect. You see, because man looks at the outward. You cannot change that fact. That every human being looks at the outward appearance to be impressed. That's why we men, when we look at you ladies, beautiful, Bobby now, every Botox, everything, bombazi, it's a wow, what a shock. If you like, come, no Bobby, no Botox, and see if anybody will tell you they love you.
You must have something, you know, about your body, about your face. Men don't look for the insider. They look for the outside. So sometimes when they call you, it's not because you are a nice person. It's just because your eye is just beautiful. That's all. They don't value you. They value it's just the buttocks. When they see the buttocks, say, "What? I want to touch it." That's why they are calling you. They don't love you or care. There's nothing like that. Man will always continue to look at the outward. But God looks at the heart. So in this world that we live in, we have to believe God and do the things we have to do for the presence of God to be made manifest in the physical realm. See, also, for example, me, as a pastor, all I need really is just a car that will move me from A to B. A Spacio or a Spacio, how do you call it? Spacio, like the one nice one there, it can work for me. No. But if people see that I am the head of such a lot of people and I drive them car, they don't respect you. I have a friend in Ghana. He bought a Land Cruiser Prado. Limited edition. He imported it from Dubai with gold plating around the car. He says when he goes, the bank comes to him to beg him to come and take a loan. He says when he goes for a business deal, he goes with that car. No trouble. He said some Lebanese people, a whole vessel, a whole ship, containers of flour, sugar, rice, they just gave it to me. They said, when you finish selling, you can come and pay us our money. Because when they saw the Land Cruiser Prado, even though the guy is smallish, you know, very small, the car he's driving, when they see the car, they say, the guy, he all right. That's why banks, people in banks, they dress up. When you go to these girls and boys in the banks, because you will not leave your money where. If you go and you see somebody with plait hair, a singlet, and short pants, and say, "Yes, I'm the teller," he will tell you something. No. You will not leave your money there. But they give them dresses and things. In some good banks, I don't know, maybe you can confirm that, they even give them uniform allowance. Money to dress up. Because if I'm coming with my money and I look at your face, I look at a building, no AC, no water. It's now that Scotia Bank, Carmichael, not long ago they started putting water there. You go there dry. Just there like that. No AC, no nice face, no glass, no screen, showing you some fancy things. No, you just take back your money, go and put it under your mattress. It's a safer bank. At least every morning when you lift it up, you go, okay, you are right? Good. We are right. Yeah, rather than giving it to somebody, as you are paying the money, you are wondering, the thing gone in? It gone in? Because like, you look at the person's face, you don't trust that. Yeah. I mean, I was at the ATM the other day, and I put in my card, and I pressed the amount, and the money came out. And I took it and I put it in my pocket. I only discovered that I am probably not doing the right thing. When a lady who was helping a guy said, "Count the money. Count the money and make sure it's 10,000 that has come out." I never think about that. You have to count it. I don't count it. I don't count it. I point 30,000. I expect the people to give me 30,000. But a lot of people have had experiences. Money goes out of the accounts that they didn't authorize. Okay, so I've never thought about it. You count all the time? No, don't count. No, thieves don't live long. I don't count. I punch in $10,000. I'm expecting the machine to be smarter and give me $10,000. Machine got stinking fingers, right? If you give me 8 and you say it's 10, God bless you. Machine, God bless you. And the person who put the money in you.
The lady told the guy, he said, count the money. And I was there, I was wondering, why? He said, why you count the money? And I realized, oh, you have to count the money too. I don't count the money. That's how come Suraj Bali was saying that electronic voting has not been in place, because people know that if you do that, you have to trust the system. And people don't trust electronics. That's why you take money from the ATM and still count it. That's how come we have to wait. We wasted 5 good working days in our country. 500 and something thousand votes. Nigeria, 150 million people, they did an election. 2 days later, the results was out. 150 million people. If you say 100 million people are eligible voters. We are 700 and something. 500 something people voted. And for 1 week. What a country. What a Guyana. Man. Because Suraj Bali said it. He said that it is not in the law. So you can't implement it and say, we've gone automatic. Because the law has not catered for it. You can't do it. We may blame him and all of that, but the politicians who are in parliament should have changed that. That's how come you saw ballot, statement, SOP, statement of what? Polls. Yeah, that's what you saw. Because if you make it electronic, people can't go inside. And they don't want that. They want the old paper system so they can push things inside. Yeah. That's how come, even though still in Guyana, you can't make transactions. I have to sit in my house comfortably and move money from my bank abroad. It just happened to me again the last time. I was buying something online. It's about $500 total. I can't pay. Because the Visa card Republic Bank gives you, it doesn't have that limit. So I have to go to them tomorrow and say, I have to move the money to another something before I can purchase something above a certain amount. What kind of belittling are you trying to belittle us here? I have to be able to, if I want to buy something worth $1,000 in America with my card, I should be able to buy from the comfort of my home. This is the freedom I'm talking about. Not the president, but the freedom I'm talking about. Are you with me? Are you learning something? And that's what will make you go to ATM and count the money. After that, because they don't believe that if you are the one. I had a Republic Bank card. They said Visa, Scotia Bank don't give us that. I don't know why they don't give us that, and they say they are the best bank around. At least Republic Bank give you a Visa debit card, Visa, that you can go somewhere and still use it. I was in Suriname a few years ago. I was disgraced. I went to the hotel. Everything. I swiped my card. Put in my code. Denied. Swipe my card again. Because I don't want MasterCard. I want debit. My own money. I don't want credit card. I want debit. You hear what I tell you? I want debit card. I don't want credit card. If I have the money, I have. If I don't have, I don't have. I don't want to live above my means. I've learned my lesson when I was living with the white people. I can't come for black people to make me. No. So debit. I said, no. I said, please check it. 3 times. Denied. If I did not have money in my pocket. The hotel people have told me, you're a liar. Last time my card expired and I went for a new one. And I said, tell me why I can't use my card when I travel. And so you have to come in and tell us. I said, I have to come in and tell you that I'm traveling. You gave birth to me. I should come and tell you that I'm traveling. So please, when you see the release me. Don't bring yourself. Do not bring yourself. I said, so I am the head of an international organization. I travel quite a lot. So every time I'm going, when I book my ticket, and I come and say, Mommy, I would like to travel. My fellow Guyanese, Think about what I'm saying. It's not the president, it's the systems they have here. It's not the president, it's the systems that run here. So I challenged the girl. I said, you know what? I won't do that. But if you have to. So she said, oh, okay. But it's for your safety. I said, safety what? If my credit card is being used abroad and money goes out of my car, then it's my responsibility. I lost it. Because if you lose your card, you have to call the bank, let them block it. If I don't do that and somebody goes to use it, it's my problem. I can't blame the bank for anything. I argued. Then she said, oh, there's a box that you can check that you can use it all. Because then she was going to be a little flexible and say, oh, so which country can I release it so that when you go to the country, I say, I go everywhere. He said, which continent? I said, sweetie, all the 5 or 6 continents. Because I don't even decide where I go. I work for an organization that if there's a meeting in Asia and I'm invited, I have to go. Mommy, I'm going to China. You could release the thing on the card for me. And I come up 2 weeks later, I have a meeting in Australia. Daddy, I could go. When I go to New York, I feel like a stranger. When you get to the cashier, and you are paying. Everybody swipes. I'm the only one who takes US dollars. I say, here you go. And they change. Plenty, and I put it in my pocket. I look like a stranger. It's like you came from somewhere. Everybody's swiping. You only are the one holding cash. Someone goes into your pocket, your money is gone. Your whole riches is gone. If you take the card, I can call, they'll block it. You can't even know my card, my PIN, if you take my card. So money is safer. Are you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's too fantastic. So people look at the outer. That's why I will drive a car that is a little more than a spacio. Mr. Charlene, is that how they call it? Spacio? A little more than a spacio. Because people must look at you and give you some kind of respect. And human beings will not respect you if physically certain things are not in place. And that's why God will bless you so that people will know who you are serving. I said, that's why God will bless you so that people will know who you serve. Because if people do not see things around you to know that you serve a great God, they will not be attracted to the God you serve. Ladies and gentlemen, my time is up. Let's stand to our feet. Let's be part of this development. I'm sure President Granger is saying that. Let us all come together. I'm also telling you today, according to the Bible, let us all hold the plow and bring in souls. Witness to people. Let's preach about Jesus. Invite people to church. And let the kingdom of God be established.
Father, thank you so much for speaking to us. I thank you for the light that comes through your word. I thank you for blessing our lives in Jesus' name. You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you have been blessed by this message. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call 225-6760. 683-6396. Our email is at lciguiana@gmail.com. God richly bless your day.